Today, I want to talk about how hard it can be to distinguish between the different fabrics for jumpers and sweatshirts. I want to help demystify at least one of those fabrics for you, and the one I've chosen is French Terry. And no, French Terry isn't the dodgy-looking bloke down the local market that sells fabric. It's the name of a surprisingly chic fabric. So let's chat about how it's made, what it can be used for, and what to be aware of when you choose it. Hello everyone, and welcome to the So Mindful podcast, where we dig into the tips and topics that will help you have great fun making clothes that make you feel fabulous. I'm your host, Jackie Blakemore of So Much More Fun, and I can't wait to share this week's illuminating episode with you, so let's roll the tape. Hello, hello, hello. Thank you so much for dropping by. So at the time of recording, we're just moving from what we laughingly call summer in the UK into autumn. And I'm always on the lookout for stylish jumper or cardigan options at this time of year. So I was thinking about what fabrics might be interesting to look at and decided on French Terry, partly so I could make that joke in the introduction, but mostly because it's actually a bit of an unsung hero. Now, you may not have chosen French Terry before, because either you may not have heard of it, or you may have been put off by the fact it's a knit or stretch fabric and you're not sure about sewing those. Or maybe you've looked at it and not really been sure what you can use it to make, or how warm or cool it will be. You might also have thought, isn't French Terry just the same as terry cloth, that stuff that's used for towels or bathrobes? Why would I want to make a jumper out of that? So let's talk about what it actually is, how you can use it, and why it's an ideal fabric for this transitional time of the year. So apparently the name French Terry comes from the French verb tirer. I think I've pronounced that completely horribly, but bear with me. It means to pull. It was originally created by pulling silk through densely woven cloth. I watched an odd but interesting video that shows how it's knitted, and the key to it is that the knitting technique causes loops to be left on the back of the fabric. I'll put a link to the video in the show notes, but just a warning, it's an AI-generated narration which sounds a bit odd. Anyway, the looping that is left on the surface is denoted by the word terry in the name. Terry cloth, which is the stuff used for towels, tends to have those loops on both sides. French terry has the loops on just one side, and they're often not quite as pronounced as they are in terry towels. And it's smooth on the right side, just like jersey fabric. So what are the key characteristics of this fabric? Well, firstly, it has a unique texture, with a smooth face on one side and the loops on the back. The loops aren't as exaggerated on French terry as they are in terry cloth, as we've mentioned, but it does create a textured side to the fabric. Because it's knitted, it is stretchy, and most commonly it has a four-way stretch, so you can stretch it horizontally and vertically. It's breathable, again, partly due to its knitted construction, but it's also often made from cotton or cotton blends, and natural fibres help the air to circulate when you're wearing it. As with most knit fabrics, it's comfortable to wear. I would say, however, that the wrong side of French terry is not quite as soft as a brushed or fleece-backed sweatshirt fabric. It's absorbent, so it's often used for active wear and travel wear, as the construction helps to wick away the moisture from your skin, and the circulating air allows that to evaporate quickly, particularly with that looped structure. It can be made from both natural and synthetic fibres, or blends of the two. There are organic cotton versions, so for those looking for more sustainable options, look out for the GOTS or Ecotex markings. It can be made from cotton blended with fibres such as polyester, rayon, viscose, or spandex, or elastane as it's sometimes called. Polyester will add durability, so if this is to be a high wear garment or one that you're washing often, that might be a consideration. Spandex or elastane will add stretch and recovery to the fabric for a better or closer fit. We've talked about bamboo recently, and you can get French terry made from bamboo fibres, usually combined with elastane. As we mentioned before, bamboo is hailed as a more sustainable crop than cotton, so if sustainability is more important to you, then look for this option. It can also be made from semi-synthetic fibres, such as modal, tencel or lyocell. These fibres add more drape to the resulting fabric. I've also seen French terry fabrics and ready-to-wear garments made with blends of more luxury fibres, such as cashmere and merino wool. These elevate the cost, but also increase the luxurious feel of the final garment. As we've mentioned, there are some great characteristics of the French terry structure. It's very comfortable to wear because of its stretch and flexibility. It's also what I would call a mid-weight fabric, so it's great for layering, particularly in those transitional seasons, or when you've worked up a sweat in the gym and you have to walk back to the car. It's also quite widely available. If you Google French terry fabric, it's likely that there will be an online supply somewhere near you. Because it can be made with different types of fibres, it comes in different weights and can lend itself not only to the more traditional sweatshirts and joggers, but also to dresses and even lightweight jackets. And whilst, when I started researching for this podcast, my thoughts were that French terry was mainly for loungewear or casual wear, it appears I've totally missed the new trend, where this fabric is holding its own in designer collections worn by celebrities. I did spot a pair of French terry joggers by Victoria Beckham going for £245, and the luxury loungewear designer Olivia Van Halle is selling tracksuits to the stars for over £1,000 a pop. But as we mentioned, because of the versatile way in which it can be created, adding in luxury fibres has helped to elevate the status of garments made from this fabric. So you can use it to make the more obvious sweatshirts and hoodies, so it's ideal for patterns like the Linden sweatshirt by Grainline Studios, or the Tilly and the Buttons Billy sweatshirt, or I've used it for the Ish to Stitch Busan jumper. And as we've mentioned, you could also use it for joggers and lounge pants. It isn't usually see-through when stretched, unlike some of the jersey fabrics, so I think it works really well for trouser-type styles. But it isn't super stretchy or super recovery, so it wouldn't work with leggings or something more tight-fitting like that. Personally, I think it's a bit too thick or heavy for what I would class as a t-shirt pattern, but if you did want to make a transitional long-sleeve t-shirt style top, then it could work for that. If you pick a pattern that's quite fitted, then be sure to pick a French terry with a higher elastane content and check the stretch percentage either on the website or by buying a swatch. I think it's great for lightweight cardigans or jackets. It has a bit of body from the way that it's made and it's warm enough for those type of indoor jackets, but it isn't always knitted tightly enough to be windproof, and so I probably wouldn't choose it on its own for colder weather coats. But as we mentioned before, because of the way it's made, it's not super bulky and it's not as bulky as fleece-backed or brush-backed sweatshirts. So it is ideal for layering under other jackets or coats. I haven't personally tried it for dresses or skirts myself, but there are plenty of ready-to-wear examples of those garments made from French terry out there. I don't think I would reach for a French terry dress in the height of the summer. Although having said that, the summer we just had in the UK actually hasn't been that warm, so maybe I might. But what I mean is, I'm not sure I would reach for a French terry dress in hot weather. But definitely moving from autumn into winter, or winter into early spring, I think it would be a good addition to my wardrobe. Particularly if you pick something like a modal French terry that's got that lovely drape, I think that would be really nice to wear. Look for those versions that are probably blended for increased durability and with some elastane so they don't get too baggy too quickly. Even though it is a stretch fabric, it's relatively stable when compared to more lighter weight jerseys. Its structure means that it doesn't roll up quite so much after you've cut it, and it doesn't leave as much fluff around as some of the brushed or fleece-backed alternatives. It does come as solid colours, but also printed with patterns. But if you have something like a cricket and you wanted to add your own design, then the smooth face on the right side of the fabric lends itself to adding your own designs. So if you feel the need to write the word juicy across your bum, then this could be the perfect fabric for you for your joggers. Just be careful to check the care instructions for your fabric when you buy it for the recommended maximum heat setting when ironing. And do test on scraps before you put it onto your actual final garment. So what are its limitations? Well, not many that I could really find or think of, to be honest. It can fray a little. I have a super dry sweatshirt made from French terry that has an unfinished hem and just a couple of rows of stitching about half a centimetre away from the edge to act like a stay stitch. And that does fray a little now and again, but I have had it for a long time. One downside is that there are so many different types in terms of the fibres and weights. It means that it's not always as simple as buying any fabric called French terry, particularly if you want to repeat a project that you've made before. So if you do use it and really like the result, it is definitely worth writing down somewhere the composition of the fabric that you used. By that, I mean the types of fibre that it was made from. For example, 95% cotton and 5% elastane. Just so that you can look for that again in the future. The kind of garments to avoid are patterns that require more lightweight, flowy styles, as even with drape, it does have some structure, which might make it stand a bit too proud, particularly for dresses or skirts with a lot of fullness or gathers. It's not recommended for things like swimwear or bodysuits, which may sound obvious, but it isn't designed for prolonged exposure to water or chlorine. And whilst it does stretch, it might be a bit too snug and textured for close-fitting bodysuits. But hey, you do you. In terms of price, it varies with the fibre composition. You can pick up French terries from £10 a metre all the way up to £30 a metre for some of the organic options. But even at £30 a metre, you could make yourself some joggers and a sweatshirt for a lot less than £1,000. It is a fabric that generally wears well, so you should get a good life out of your garments, particularly if you take care of them when you're washing them. Although I did read reports that those French terries that are made with synthetic fibres can be prone to a bit more pilling or bobbling, but I'm not sure how accurate that is. So just to recap on a couple of things to watch out for. Make sure that you check the fibre content when you're buying, as it can vary a lot. If in doubt, if you're buying online, then order a sample. I know, I'm going to sound like a stuck record, but you're not doing the planet any favours by buying fabric that isn't what you expected and that you don't really like or you can't use. Okay, I'll step back down off my soapbox. As with all sewing projects that involve stretch fabrics, check what amount of stretch the pattern recommends, and then check that your fabric can stretch at least that much. If it requires 30% stretch, then if you take a 10cm piece of fabric next to a ruler, you should be able to hold it at one end and stretch it out to 13cm without it distorting too much. And when you let go of it, it should return back to 10cm. And remember, pre-wash your fabric before you cut it out. I know how exciting it can be when your fabric arrives and you just want to get started, but you won't be nearly so excited when you take it off, wash it, and pull it out of the washing machine after that first wash and it no longer fits you. So what tips have I got for you for sewing your French terry fabric? Well, here's a few things to think about. As we've mentioned with other fabrics, remember to test your stitches on a scrap first. French terry is going to be a little bit thicker than jersey, but because of the way it's knitted, you'll still want to use a jersey or ballpoint needle. Depending on how tightly it's knitted or how thick it feels, you may choose to use a slightly bigger needle, like a 90-14. But I think for most French terries, an 80-12 needle will work with the majority of fabrics. Be aware of not pulling it too much as you sew it. I think the French terry is less susceptible to that than a jersey, for example, but you do still need to pay attention to it. You may choose to stabilise the areas that will carry the weight with clear elastic or stay tape, particularly if it's a slightly heavier weight version of French terry. This will just stop it from stretching out. You will want to retain some stretch in your seams, so use a zigzag or a stretch stitch, that lightning stitch that you might see on some of the sewing machines. If you have one, you can also use an overlocker. And if you don't want to use a zigzag or lightning stretch stitch for your hems, because they can sometimes cause distortion, then you can consider using a twin needle instead. And remember, even though this is a knitted fabric, it still has a grain line, so make sure that you're lining your pattern pieces up with the selvage of your fabric and check the greatest amount of stretch is going around the body. Just a note here on thread, I tend to use an all-purpose polyester thread when I'm sewing my stretch or knit garments. I know there is also stretch thread, but I haven't tried it myself, and I haven't had any need for it, as I tend to use a zigzag stitch or my overlocker. If you have used it though and found it beneficial, then I would love to hear from you. So do email or message me and let me know whether you liked it or not, whether it worked, how easy it was to use and what type of project you used it for. So one other consideration is neckbands and cuffs, as these are common features on sweatshirts. As we've mentioned, the amount of stretch can vary on French terry fabrics. So you will need to consider this when you're making your sweatshirt, as neckbands and cuffs often require higher amounts of stretch. It is possible to make the neckband and cuffs from a rib knit, which you'll find on lots of online fabric shops. And these days it comes in a huge range of colours, so you can easily get one to match the colour of your main fabric. Rib knit is much more loosely knitted, making it ideal for those pesky neckbands, where it needs to be stretched out quite a lot, particularly close to the edge of the jumper, but then lie flat near to your neck. It's also not quite as chunky as French terry, So when you're doubling it over for your cuffs or your neck bands, it can be a bit easier to work with and not quite so bulky. So something to consider when you're planning your project. So we've covered quite a lot, and hopefully you found that helpful. I definitely learned new things about this fabric in preparing to talk to you, even if that's just that JLo wears a lot of tracksuits and Olivia Van Halle is a marketing genius to be able to sell jogging pants for £500. But what I'd love you to take away from our chat today is that French Terry is a comfortable and versatile fabric that can be used for a wide range of garments from lounging to luxury layers. So what are the next steps? Well, again, in these fabric episodes, I like to give you a few little takeaways. So my suggestion is I've created a downloadable PDF cheat sheet for you for French Terry. So step one is to go to the show notes and make sure that you get a copy of that. Once again, it's a two-pager and it's a reminder of the features of French Terry together with some suggested patterns and some tips. On the second page is a place where you can attach your samples with the notes of where you got them from. So step two would be to find and order at least one sample of French Terry fabric and attach it to your sheet with the details of what it is. That way, once again, you'll know whether you like it or not and whether it's the type of fabric that you'll want to use in the future. And step three, once you've done all of that, then let me know. I love to hear from you. So let me know whether you think it's a fabric that you will use or that you won't use. And if you have any more questions, then please just get in touch. You can email me and my email address is given at the end of the show, or you can message me on Facebook or Instagram. Just search for So Much More Fun, which is SEW. This is the second of my fabric introduction episodes, and I'll be doing more of these in the future. So as a bonus action, if you haven't already got your cheat sheet from the bamboo fabric episode, then go and get that now too. The future episodes will also come with cheat sheets to help you create your own library of cheat sheets and swatches, because I think knowing and learning about fabrics is part of the key to great dressmaking. Each cheat sheet also has some links to a few other resources that you might find helpful. So that's it for this episode. I'd love to know what you're making and how things are going, especially if you decide to unleash your inner JLo or Olivia Van Halle with your own luxury loungewear. And if you have any questions, you can drop me an email or message me and I'll do my best to help. Thank you so much for joining me again, and I look forward to speaking to you again soon. Bye for now. Well, that's it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. Check out the show notes in the description area of your podcast app and click to follow or subscribe. Or head over to sewmindful.com/podcast, which is sewmindful.com, where you can also sign up for an email reminder so that you don't miss out on any juicy episodes. If you listen on Apple Podcasts, then please help others find us by leaving a review if you love this episode. And I'm always excited to find out what you got from the episode and how you plan to use the tips. And finally, if you have a question, feedback, or a topic you'd like me to investigate, then you can also email me at hello@somuchmorefun.co.uk. So until next time, stay gorgeous and have so much more fun.